No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, talking about this Brewers series that ended on somewhat of a high note. It was really all about Zach Veen on Tuesday, a epic loss on Wednesday, and Ryan Feltner on Thursday. I'm going to drop a second audio-only episode within the next day, 12 hours, maybe even less, because I have a lot of audio that I want to share with you from this opening weekend, and I tried doing that multiple times, had tons of technical difficulties on Wednesday night, so apologies if you live and die by these podcasts early in the morning. You didn't have one there for you on Thursday, but I will make up for you Friday morning. You'll get up, boom, there should be two there for you. So this Brewers series ended on that high note. As I said, Rockies avoid the sweep at the hands of the Brewers. They go to 3-9. 5-run 8th was really what it was all about for the Rockies. They score 7 runs, second most of the season behind that home opener where they scored 12 against the A's. And Ryan Feltner was just solid once again. This was just his first quality start, as didn't reach the 6-inning minimum in his first two, but 6 innings, 3 hits, allowed the 1 run, walked 2, struck out 7. ERA drops down to 2.81, first game with 7 or more strikeouts since last July. But going back to last June, you remember last year he finished really strong, more than just the second half, a little bit more than that, where he was great. He was pitching like Herman Marquez. Well, yeah, he's continued that. He's got a 2.95 ERA going back to the end of June, June 26th, the lowest mark in an 18-start span for a Rocky since Herman Marquez in 2018-2019. That's something right there. He's got an 8-game streak of 5 or more innings pitched and 2 or fewer earned runs allowed, longest active streak, third longest active streak in the majors. So Ryan Feltner continuing to do it as, you know, you could argue the ace of the staff right now, and the Rockies have a lot more depth than anything. So I think I've said this recently that, you know, if you look at their starters 1 through 5, the number 1 and the number 5, there's not as big of a gap as there is typically for most teams. I think I was talking about that with Noah Spyrick on Monday night's show. You would have heard it Tuesday. We were talking about Bradley Blaylock, and Blaylock, it was announced, will be joining the Isotopes rotation. I think he pitched the other night already as a starter. So Jake Bird holding the fort down as the team's long reliever. So Feltner looking really solid, and imagine playing a fun game of anything you can do, I can do better with Kyle Freeland. And I think that's a fun combination to have there. A guy who is quietly a Rocky killer, it's got to be Christian Yelich. He's reached base in 31 consecutive games against the Rockies. He's hit a couple balls into the third deck in the past. I think he might hit one off of Ryan Feltner once, and you know, nearly a 500 foot blast. So he's just been fantastic. He was kind of quiet. He only had a double on Thursday, walked one, scored a run. But the batting lineup, you might have noticed the last two days, shaken up a lot. Now, on Thursday, there was no Ezekiel Tovar and Hunter Goodman. Tovar's got sort of a hip thing, quote unquote, according to manager Bud Black. Goodman is fine. He hit his hand on a bat throwing down to third base with Rhys Hoskins holding his own in the batter's box. No infraction there. It was a light grazing. He said he was fine. And I think the reason why Goodman was out of the lineup is ultimately because we're looking at a day game following a night game. So Stallings is going to be behind the plate. You could have Goodman at DH, but Nick Martini hasn't really been playing much. So he was in there at DH batting fifth. Kyle Farmer moved up to the third spot in the order, and Zach Veen was batting second. So a strange lineup, to say the least, and yet they ended up getting the win. A lot of that had to do with Ryan McMahon going 2-for-4, extending his hit streak to 7 games, where he has an OPS over 1,000 during this span. Michael Tolia broke out of a slump with 3 hits. Zach Veen had his first extra base hit, had a double late. Now, StatCast had Veen's hit, I think it might have been 361, or was it 347? Somewhere in that range. But it would have been a homer in 24 of 30 ballparks. Of course, not Coors Field. A lot of talk on social media of a couple things when it comes to Zach Veen. One was the celebration for Zach Veen on second base was very interesting and had folks talking. What was that gesture exactly? Let me know what you think it was on social media at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. You can also leave a comment anywhere that you listen to the podcast or you watch the show over on YouTube. Or even drop me an email, patrick.dennis.lyons@gmail.com. Then there was a conversation about Zach Veen's purple hair in spring training, and it magically went away, and then it was just blonde. And again, these are some of the things that you can go and make sure you read about over on social media. But Brenton Doyle broke out, continues to play incredibly well in a season that I think a lot of folks had him pegged to be an all-star. And I think there is more depth at the shortstop spot in the National League, more so than the outfield. So Doyle's path to becoming an all-star this year is going to be a little easier than Tovar's. And so far, Doyle has taken an early lead in terms of best player offensively on the club between him and Tovar. So Doyle extends his on-base streak to 11 games in the process. He now has a hit streak of his own of 7 games. And that got it started with a leadoff home run, his third homer in the last 4 games, and a second leadoff shot of the homestand and of the season. Did that back on Sunday. So he's got a career best 4-game RBI streak with 11 total RBI during this span. His 5 RBI on Thursday ties a single game career high. So he's been great. A pair of 4 RBI outings for Brenton Doyle during this homestand. With the leadoff home run, he apparently hit the mitt. I should have watched a replay, but in watching it off the bat from the press box, I didn't actually think it hit the mitt in left field. That being said, who cares? UC Health, good on them. They're going to donate $5,000 to the Colorado Rockies Foundation to Freedom Service Dogs, which is a local nonprofit that provides service dogs to individuals with limited mobility, young adults with autism, veterans, and first responders to help with disabilities like PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, and more. Last year, they were able to donate $25,000 to Next Chapter Colorado. So off to a good start there. Wednesday, not a good start to that game. I mean, it started fine. It ended way worse, but 17-2, I had a few people reach out to me that don't normally text me just saying, 17-2? Really? Yeah, it was tied for the 7th worst loss in franchise history. All 6 that were worse were also at Coors. The last time they lost by 15 or more runs was that 25-1 drubbing in June of 2023 against the Angels, where everyone did everything except Ohtani, oddly enough. That I will not forget being in the press box and watching that because it was chaos. And I think, you know, there weren't a ton of Angels fans there, but they converted some people. I think Rockies fans were just so excited to see all this action, and it was just, they just couldn't get it out. It was wild. It didn't totally feel like that on Wednesday night at the ballpark, either in the press box or in the stands, but it still, you know, it wasn't pretty to say the least. Now, the other times in which they gave up 15 or more runs, two were in 1995, crazily enough. And it's crazy because they went to the postseason that year. Happened once in 93 in May, which is probably going to happen for an expansion club. Again, it only underlines how impressive of a job Don Baylor did with that first team to avoid 100 losses. Just pretty much a miracle in so many ways. And so now that you've got back-to-back 100 loss seasons, I think it should really be highlighted even more so that the number 25 should be retired for him, because that was a team of that was an organization that had never been together. They had nothing as a group, and yet he was able to navigate them away from 100 losses. And the way he did in the second half, I mean, they were great. They were really solid. They were basically a wild card club in the second half. Of course, the first half meant they were nowhere near that. There also wasn't a wild card back in 1993. Nevertheless, with what we've seen the last 2 years with a team that has had pieces that have left in free agency and drafting and developing, not at a very high level or very high quality, a pretty high miss rate versus a hit rate, I think you can appreciate that much more the job that Don Baylor was able to do in 93. And again, one of the reasons why I believe the organization should retire number 25 for him. There was another 15 run plus loss in franchise history in 2019. That came in July when the team was falling apart and it pretty much sealed their fate. Let's not forget, they entered July with the final wildcard spot in 2019. It really should have been 3 years in a row that they made the postseason, and it just fell apart in 2019. And it just fell apart in 2020. It was a 60-game season, as we all remember, and they came out the gate pretty hot. They were great, but right there in September, which was the halfway point for that season, they floundered the rest of the way after getting just destroyed. And again, the rest is history. The other piece from the 17-2 loss was the Rockies gave up 6 unearned runs, which was tied for the 5th most that they've ever allowed in a game. The defense was unusually poor. Unusually poor. You had an error from Brenton Doyle and an error for Ezekiel Tovar, and Tovar should have probably gotten another one. There was another questionable play that I think he got away with one. And so that was the first game in the 2 years that Brenton Doyle and Ezekiel Tovar have been playing together that they both made an error in the same game. Just crazy. You had that Goodman throw down to third base. Hoskins is in the way. He still throws it. Ball hits the bat. Luckily, it was no harm, no foul, but both guys ended up getting a stolen base. Zach Veen in right field did not play the auxiliary scoreboard terribly well. You know, Buddy did make a point that he was going hard at the ball, so you can kind of forgive him for that, because if he wasn't going that hard, then that perhaps would have been the criticism. So I thought that was a fair rebuttal from Buddy when I asked him about that on Wednesday night. So, and I don't really think it ended up in a triple. So, you know, he didn't read the carom very well, but it was really no harm, no foul. So the defense just was shoddy. It was not good. And I actually had forgotten that twice in September of 2016, they gave up 8 unearned runs in California in a pair of matching 14-1 losses, one to the Padres, one to the Dodgers, and it could have been worse, because when the home team is leading in the 9th inning, they don't get another chance to tack on. So it's wild to think that that September club in 2016 would blossom into a postseason club in 2017. The order for Wednesday's game was also notably different, as was Thursday. Bouchard was in left field, batting 2nd against the lefty Tyler Alexander. Tovar and Max slid down to the 3 and 4 spot. I like that. Farmer jumped up a little bit to the 6 spot. And then you had Chris Bryant and Michael Tolia at 7th and 8th with Veen batting 9th. So I like that lineup because I felt like it rewarded players who were doing it, and it gave more at-bats to guys who needed it, like a Sean Bouchard, as frustrating as it might be for some folks out there that would rather see Jordan Beck getting that playing time and batting second, maybe regularly. This is the roster that they're dealt with, and all things considered, you know, that was decent. And it was good to see Veen in the lineup too, because there was a lefty pitcher on the mound. And so for Veen to get back-to-back days, and ultimately became 3 days in a row for him, was nice. The offense, it didn't make a difference. They scored 2 runs, which you can't do at Coors Field, but it was, you know, an average bad game for the offense. 9 strikeouts, kind of better than normal, 11 left on base, and 1 for 8 with runners in scoring position. So you are not going to win games like that. You are going to get destroyed like that. Senzatella just didn't have it from the get-go. He gave up 9 and 10 hits in his first 2 games, but somehow had a 0 ERA. Never seen that before. He only gave up 8 hits. Is that's a good thing? Not necessarily, because he wasn't able to reduce that traffic. He was not the crossing guard. He was not the magician. It came back to haunt him in a big way. Gave up 9 runs, 8 of which were earned. His ERA goes from 0 to 5.14. And before the game, we've all know this experience where someone jinxes something, or you read something and you say, I got a bad feeling about this. Just because I read it, there's a reason. The baseball gods are pointing to this, and it's going to come to fruition. And sure enough, I had read that Senzatella hadn't given up 2 home runs in a game in Denver since September of 2019. And I was like, you know what? I guess that's about right. He's, you know, he's maybe given up 1 home run in many of those 34 starts. But I was like, damn, that's pretty impressive. You know what? That's probably going to end up happening tonight with a Brewers club that makes a lot of contact. You know, they don't have any boppers, really. Yelich at times, Hoskins, you know, he's 20, 25 home run guy. But it just seemed like it was going to happen, and it absolutely did happen. His streak ends at 34 games. So Ubaldo Jimenez still has that franchise record of 41 games that stretch from 2008 to 2010 of not allowing 2 home runs or more at Coors Field. The bullpen didn't really matter much on Wednesday night, because by the time Senzi came out, again, it was not good. Halverson in the 9th just couldn't get through the final 3 outs. They got a couple unearned runs off of him. Now, I did ask Buddy on Thursday about whether or not they had considered throwing out a position player. Stallings was the last guy that was on the bench. He has pitched. He has struck out Ronald Acuna Jr., of all players. Go back and watch that clip, believe it or not. But 2 things. 1, Buddy hates position players pitching. They did not use a position player all last year. They had to use 2 different ones in 2023, Brian Servant and Alan Trejo, but they didn't use it at all last year when they probably should have. And what does even should have mean? Like, what would the benefits of that have been? Nothing. You know, maybe just a little extra time off for some of your relievers. It is what it is. I don't have a strong opinion regardless. But the bullpen, you know, hasn't been needed much, because the starting rotation has been really solid. And Victor Vodnik ends up having to come on to get the final 2 outs in a game that's already over. But Vodnik hadn't thrown in a few days. His previous outing was Sunday against the A's. So, again, it is what it is. Vodnik has thrown back-to-back days only once, and it was a 3-pitch outing in Philly last Thursday and 16 pitches for the home opener last Friday. So Rockies 3-9. Thank God for Atlanta. Thank God for the Chicago White Sox. Not that anyone really should be thanking them at all. You know, this is kind of how, you know, the season was meant to go. You know, and until they are not a 100-loss team, they are a 100-loss team. And I said earlier in the week that they've been in every single game. Before Wednesday, they've been in every single game, and yet they haven't found a way to win most of those games, which is an indicator of a team that doesn't win. It's an indicator of a losing club, but is it an indicator of a 100-loss club? Less so, because they were just getting beat in every which way early on in 2024, and they lose 1-on-1. And this year, it's getting a little bit better. The win-loss record obviously suggests they are still a 100-loss team, but if you look deeper and if you're actually watching these games, you know, all right, they're not that bad. They're bad. They are bad, but they're not that bad. Caught up with Nick Mears in the dugout about his time in Milwaukee. I knew he had started the year on the IL and then ended up seeing him pitching on Tuesday night and going, oh, all right, I guess I didn't realize he had come off the IL. It was that day. You know, he said he knew the guys he was facing in his inning. He knew Chris Bryant, got him to ground out to short. He had played against Kyle Farmer a few times, got him to strike out. And Tolia, he's probably played with the most of that trio down in Albuquerque. So he was able to strike him out and said basically, like, yeah, I know not to throw down and in to Tolia. Like, it's pretty easy. You know, him and Manny and I, the three of us, were having a good conversation about a lot of different things on and off the record. But, you know, he Mears definitely discussed the effects of altitude on the body and how, you know, he just doesn't have to deal with that right now in Milwaukee. And that's, you know, I think helped him out in a lot of different ways. And the way in which he throws and the way in which he pitches is just a lot more effective elsewhere. And so he's kind of coming into his own. And, you know, when a team acquires you like that in Milwaukee and they're going towards the postseason, that's a big confidence boost, a lot more so than any other kind of situation. You know, you get claimed off of waivers. That just means what, you're better than the other options that are out there. You're still maybe 38th, 39th on the depth chart. When you get claimed, it just means, yeah, you're still a big leaguer, but you know, am I really wanted? And that's happened with Mears a few times early on in his career. And now he's really starting to come into his own. And so that's, you know, certainly a positive thing. Attendance, you know, hasn't been too much of a story early on in the season. Still too soon to know. It looked crazy empty Wednesday night before first pitch, an hour before the game. It was almost like, did somebody forget to not open up the gates? Where is everybody on a gorgeous night? Gorgeous night. It did get a little bit better at game time. The announced attendance was 18,800. Thursday was 18,593. And again, attendance is tickets sold, not butts in seats. It's just not. Now, I was told that about 10,000 were expected at the ballpark on Thursday. I'm not sure how that gets up to 18,000, but you know, I do know that the season ticket base is about 13,000, and not every season ticket holder attends every single game. And the Rockies have that information, so they know that. So that's how, you know, attendance tickets sold can be 18,000, but then maybe 10 to 15 end up showing up. There's a variable with that. Last little piece I do want to mention is that awful roof collapse on Tuesday in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. The last that I checked, 113 had died in the Jet Set nightclub disaster. Three notable deaths in the baseball community: Octavio Dotel, who was with the Rockies in 2010, Tony Blanco, who was with the Rockies in the minor leagues in Double A Tulsa and High A Modesto, and the sister of multi-time All-Star Nelson Cruz. So just so awful. That news kind of, you know, broke just before the game on Tuesday, and it was really nice on Wednesday that the Rockies in Coors Field did recognize the passing of Dotel and Blanco during a moment of silence on Wednesday. So I thought that was really classy. I thought it was classy when there was a moment of silence for Bob Uecker on Tuesday at the start of the series, and had someone reach out on social media with a fair point, or a fair question, I should say. Hey, why wasn't Ricky Henderson acknowledged in the opening series against the A's? Again, fair question. But Bob Uecker, keep in mind, has been in Denver every time the Brewers have come to town since the Rockies' existence back in 1993, when the Brewers were an American League team. But still, you know, Bob Uecker, he's an announcer. He's not just an important Hall of Fame guy from a team. He was the guy for the Brewers play-by-play every day, even on the road, even in Denver. So this was the first year, and that was the first game on Tuesday that the Brewers were in town and Bob Uecker wasn't there. So that was, you know, again, that was a sad moment of realization. And the logo that the commemorative patch that the Brewers have for Bob Uecker is one of my most favorite patches, I think, in baseball history. I don't know what it is about it. It's plaid, it's navy and gold. There's a beautiful simplicity about it. It's also dynamic at the same time. It's hard to put into words, but I told the Brewers, you know, communications department that was at the ballpark that I love it so much. It's just perfect. And then was shocked to find out that they did that in house. I thought it was like Todd Radom quality. If you know Todd Radom, if you don't, look him up. And he's the patch guy. He makes logos. He's incredible. I talked with him a few years ago on a podcast. He's great. But that patch was wonderful, and it was a nice touch at the Rockies and Coors Field, and the fans also providing a moment of silence for all of those who did pass. Appreciate all of you for joining me on this episode. I'll get out a audio heavy and a conversation heavy so you can find out what it was like for Chase Dolander before and after his major league debut, Zach Veen after his major league debut. What members of the Rockies front office, what are their thoughts on Zach Veen? And one of them does say, you know what? He's going to drive you crazy a little bit. And I'll leave it at that. You have to make sure that you check that one out right after this one. So at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on all the social medias, Rockies Insider. Appreciate you dropping by. Listen to this audio only podcast. Love that momentum you've given me. But as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So of course, I will talk to you then.